Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God. Do you know how God controls the storm and causes the lightning to flash forth from His clouds? Do you understand how He balances the clouds with wonderful perfection and skill? When you're sweltering in your clothes and the south wind dies down and everything is still, He makes the skies reflect the heat like a giant mirror. Can you do that? You think you know so much? So teach us, the rest of us, what to say to God. We are too ignorant to make our own arguments. Should God be told what I want to speak? Can we speak when we are confused? We cannot look at the sun, for it shines brightly in the sky when the wind clears away the clouds. Golden splendor comes from the mountain of God. He is clothed in dazzling splendor. We cannot imagine the power of the Almighty, yet He is so just and merciful that He does not oppress us. No wonder people everywhere fear Him. People who are truly wise show Him reverence. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Whoa. God obviously not too happy right here with Job, is He? Brace yourself, because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Would you like for God to ask you these questions? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Where were you when He laid the foundations of the earth? I wasn't even thought of. Was you? Do you know how its dimensions were determined and who did the surveying? What supports its foundations and who laid its cornerstone? You ever stop and think about this? I built a lot of buildings, done a lot of things, but when I built this building, I had a piece of dirt to start with. I understood how foundations work, and so I understood how much concrete I needed, how much steel and everything else I needed to put this church here to hold up all this steel and the weight of all these walls. I understand all that stuff. But if I can just see God now come down and say, son, won't you build me another earth right off out yonder? About a couple of million years out there. Just build me another one. Sure, God, I'll be happy to do that. Yeah, sure. Would you have any clue how to start? I wouldn't. No, I don't know nothing. Do you know how its dimensions were determined and who did the surveying? Can you imagine surveying out for a world in the space? What supports its foundations and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, who defined the boundaries of the sea as it burst from the womb? What? Burst from the womb? Who'd ever thought it comes from a womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, thus far and no farther will you come. Here your proud ways must stop. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you ever told the daylight to spread to the ends of the earth, to bring an end to the night's wickedness? For the features of the earth take shape as the light approaches and the dawn is robed in red. The light disturbs the haunts of the wicked, and it stops the arm that is raised in violence. Have you explored the springs from which the seas come? Have you walked about and explored their depths? Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know. Where does the light come from? And where does the darkness go? Can you take it to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course you know all this, for you were born before it was all created, and you are so very experienced. I think God's trying to be funny there, don't you? Have you visited the treasures of the snow? Have you seen where the hail is made and stored? I have reserved it for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. Where is the path of the origin of light? Where is the home of the east wind? Who created a channel for the torrents of rain? Who laid out the path for the lightning? Who makes the rain fall on barren land in a desert where no one lives? Who sends the rain that satisfies the parched ground and makes the tender grass spring up? Does the rain have a father? Where does dew come from? Who is the mother of the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? For the water turns to ice as hard as rock, and the surface of the water freezes. Can you hold back the moments? Movement of the stars? Are you able to restrain the Pleiades or the Orion? Can you ensure the proper sequence of the seasons or guide the constellations of the bear with her cubs across the heavens? I believe that's a little out of my reach, don't you? Do you know the laws of the universe and how God rules the earth? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct it? Who gives intuition and instinct? Who is wise enough to count all the clouds? Who can tilt the water jars of heaven, turning the dry dust to clumps of mud? Can you stalk prey for a lion and satisfy the young lion's appetites as they lie in their dens or crouch in their thicket? Who provides food for the ravens when their young cry out to God as they wander about in hunger? Let's go to chapter 42. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, Lord. And I was talking about things I did not understand, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sat in dust and ashes to show my repentance. After the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and with your two friends, for you have not been right in what you said about me, as my servant Job was. Now take 7 young bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not been right in what you said about me, as my servant Job was. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, and Zophar, they did as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Then all his brothers, sisters, and former friends came and feasted with him in his home, and they consoled him, comforted him, because of all the trials the Lord had brought against him, and each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life even more than in the beginning, for now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 team of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He named his first 3 daughters, Jeremiah the second, whatever, and the third, I can't pronounce those names, and verse 15, and in all the land there were no other women as lovely as the daughters of Job, and their father put them into his will along with their brothers. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died, an old man who had lived a long, good life. What finally brought Job out of all of this? What did he do? He repented, did he not? You remember when we read that? And Job said, I've been speaking out of ignorance. I didn't know who you were, God, but now I have repented. And now then, I realize that I am nothing. I'm humbling myself in your presence. And what did the Lord do to him? He healed him. And he restored all of his fortunes. And he gave him back everything, including 7 more handsome sons and 3, not just beautiful women, but 3 of the most beautiful women in all the land. Could he have been proud of all his family now? Yes, he could. And then he gave him all of that wealth back and then give him 140 years to see to the 4th generation of his grandchildren. Now then, John 9, 1 and 2. I'm asked this question I don't know how many times in my life. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Teacher, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? What's the question? Why was he born blind? Why in the world would they ask that? You ever thought about that? Where did they get that? Where did they get this? In other words, let's say, for instance, that I'm walking to church and you're my friend, and I said, hey, brother, praise God, how are you doing today? Oh, Thurman, I've come down with something. I must have the flu. I got the swine flu or something. You know, well, I feel so bad. Who sinned? Why you got it? Did we ever ask that?
Yeah, because of the tongue.
Huh?
The tongue has spoken something negatively.
Yeah. But you see, do we ever ask that question?
No.
When is the last time you were in church and you told somebody, I'm sick? I walked up here a while back to a little church I was in. I shook hands with a lady standing there. I said, ma'am, how are you doing? Oh, my goodness. She said, and she gave me a list. I have this and this and this and this and this. And I thought, oh, my, this woman don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. But this is what I should have asked her. I didn't. I should have said, why are you sick like that? Why do you have all those things? What would you say? What if the next time you were in church, what did the disciples do there whenever they found the man that was blind? What'd they ask? Who sinned? Why in the world would they ask that question? Oh, they were taught something that we're not taught. What were they taught? Well, let me take you back right quick to Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 through 35, and I'm going to show you why they asked this question. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commandments and laws I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. You will be cursed in your towns and in the country. 17 and 18. You will be cursed with baskets empty of fruit, with kneading bowls empty of bread. You'll be cursed with few children and barren fields. You'll be cursed with infertile herds and flocks. You will be cursed wherever you go, both in coming and in going. The Lord himself will send against you curses, confusion, and disillusionment, and everything you do until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and forsaking me. The Lord will send disease among you until none of you are left in the land you are about to enter and occupy. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, and with blight and mildew. These devastation will pursue you until you die. The skies above you will be as unyielding as bronze, and the earth beneath you will be as hard as iron. The Lord will turn your rain into sand and dust, and it will pour down from the sky until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will be attacked. You will attack your enemies from one direction, but you will scatter from them in seven. You will be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your dead bodies will be food for the birds and wild animals, and no one will be there to chase them away. The Lord will afflict you with boils of Egypt and with tumors, scurvy, and the itch from which you cannot be cured.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Job Was a Sinner, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.